Jolly Christmas, it's the best time of the year. Now I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and when you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet. Oh, the mistletoe is hung where you can see. Somebody waits
Vanessa once for me. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and in case you didn't hear, oh by golly, have a holly jolly Christmas this year. It's hung where you can see. Somebody waits for you. Kiss her once for me. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and in case you didn't hear, oh by golly, have a holly jolly Christmas this year.
Spreading so much cheer. I should be playing in the winter snow, but I'ma be under the mistletoe. I don't wanna miss out on the holiday, but I can't stop staring at your face. I should be playing in the winter snow, but I'ma be under the mistletoe. With you, shawty, with you. Gathering around the fire, chestnuts roasting like a hot July. I should be chilling with my folks, I know, but I'ma be under the mistletoe. Word on the street, Santa's coming in.
Good morning, Ascend Church. All right, I'll try it again. Good morning, Ascend Church. All right, that's a little better. Thank you so much for standing up with us and joining in worship. There is none greater, none more worthy than our God. If you know it, say amen this morning. We're going to sing.
By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified.
you, God. Praise you, Lord. Hey. Woo.
Put your hands together with me.
I don't need the smoke or mirrors, 'cause I know there's a God who's real. I don't need the lights to fool me, 'cause I have seen the God who heals. I know when I ask, I'll receive it. You're not a God who withholds. I hear you say, just believe me.
Come on.
I need a Holy Ghost. Nothing in this world remains. I need something stronger than lightning flowing inside of these veins. I need a Holy Ghost awakening my soul. I need a love that flows rather than my bones till the evidence shows. I need a Holy Ghost awakening my soul. I need a heart on fire that will never grow tired wherever I go.
Come on.
Holy, Holy Ghost, I need a ghost. Holy, Holy Ghost, I need a ghost. You're the fire, I can't even explain it. You're like a lying roar that wants to remain it. And every time I get a taste, I know I just want more, I just want more. You're the kingdom that's been burning inside me. It's like a lion's roar wants to revive me. And every time I get a taste, I know I just want more. Oh, I need a Holy Ghost awakening my soul. I need a heart on fire that'll never grow tired wherever I go. I need a Holy Ghost awakening my soul. I need a heart on fire that'll never grow tired wherever I go. I need a Holy, Holy Ghost. I need a ghost. Holy, Holy Ghost. I need a ghost. Ghost, I need a ghost. Holy, Holy Ghost, I need a ghost.
Yes, amen. You guys know this one, so sing along with me.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Sing along with me. Here we go.
All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice.
You have led me through the fire, and in darkest night, you are close like no other. And I've known you as a father, and I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. Yeah,
come on and sing it.
In all my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God.
Follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Welcome to Ascend Church this morning. This is a time in the service where we want to pray over your needs. If there's anything that you need today, you can come to the Lord. The Christmas story is Emmanuel, God with us. There's a reason that he made this open door. It's for us to come to him at any time, with anything, whatever we face, he's who we run to. We don't run from him, we run to him in all the times of our lives. Amen. And I want to speak to those who are watching online. There is no distance in prayer. We're going to pray a prayer. I'm going to pray a prayer of faith over you. We are, as a church, are going to agree that whatever it is you're facing, that you feel God's presence, that you see God's hand in your life. And we are going to have our prayer team come and line up here. If there's anything that you need prayer for, anything that you just want to call out to the Lord and ask for his help, if it's for healing, if it's for problems that you're facing in your relationships, whatever it is, please during this last song, just slip out of your seats, come forward. We want to join our faith with you. We want to agree in prayer with you. Maybe sometimes you don't feel strong in yourself. So one of us wants to agree with you and add our faith to yours. Amen. So during this last song, if you need prayer, just slip out of your seat and come forward. And Father, I just extend my faith towards those that are watching this on Facebook, on YouTube, on our app, on another day, even beyond this. You know, Father, you know their needs, you know whatever it is. I just rebuke all pain, all sickness in the name of Jesus. He took our infirmities, he bore our sicknesses, and by his stripes we are healed. I just speak healing, deliverance, and freedom into every person watching in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Mark, would you mind coming? Let me pray with you this morning. Come and stand up here if you don't mind. I want us to pray with Mark. His daughter, 21 years old, Katie, passed away 2 days ago from a drug overdose. And so I just want you to stretch your hand toward Mark. I'm so glad I had the opportunity to minister to Katie. And I'm so glad that she received the Lord in her life. And so we know that Katie is rejoicing in heaven today. But, you know, she's gained, because the Bible says when you're a believer, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Paul the apostle, he said, I would much rather be absent from my body and be present with the Lord. He said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul said, when we die as believers, we gain. But you see, a person who knows the Lord and dies, they gain because they go to be with Jesus. But we lose because we lose them. And so, Father, I thank you. You're the God of all comfort. You're the Father of mercies. Lord, I pray today that you will comfort Mark, that your Holy Spirit, that you will fill him with your peace this morning. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we grieve over Katie's loss, but we rejoice because we know that she is with you. We know that she received Jesus in her life, and we know we're gonna see her again. We're gonna be united once again, Lord. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, those who've gone on before us, and they're waiting on us. And Father, I just thank you for Mark. I thank you for what you're doing in his life, and I thank you for what you're doing between him and Stacy, Lord. Their upcoming marriage in a few weeks' time. And I just thank you, Father, as painful as this is, I thank you that you are with Mark. I thank you that your presence is with him. And I thank you that you give him peace and comfort and strength, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father. Amen. We agree, sir. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you, Mark. Amen. I want you to just love on Mark. You know, we are a church family. We're part of God's family, and we are family together. This is your church family, and this is the place. Let me tell you, when you're going through a tough time, that's when more than ever before, you got to gather together with your church family. Amen? And that's why there's some folks, we haven't seen you in a while. We miss you. We sure look forward to seeing you again and fellowshipping and seeing you face to face, don't we? Amen, everybody. Come on, we're going to worship the Lord, because let me tell you something right now. I don't know what you may be facing, but I can tell you that God is great, that he's greater than any problem. He's greater than any challenge. There's nothing that's impossible for him. If you will look to the Lord today, if you will lift up your eyes from where you are and get your eyes on him, let me tell you, he will deliver you. He'll provide for you. He'll heal you. He'll take care of you. Amen. Come on, he is great today. I want you to sing it out with us today. If you need prayer this morning, please don't be shy. I want you to come on down. We're here to pray with you. We have our prayer partners. They know how to pray. They know how to believe God with you. If you need prayer, come on down. We're here to pray. And we're going to sing, Great Are You, Lord. Great Are You, Lord.
breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Great are you, Lord. Oh, great are you, Lord. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore. Every heart that is broken, great are you, Lord. Oh, great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we
right now all across this room. I see some people standing. I know we worship different, but we're here to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So all across this room, I want you to lift your hands in this place. I want you to give reverence in this place. Give Him glory in this place and let Him have His way. Hallelujah. God, we worship You. God, we worship You. We declare. Yay. We sing great.
When you begin to just praise God like that, it's like you step into the throne room of heaven and you just begin to worship Him. Amen. You feel that. It's our opportunity, family, as we gather together to just offer this worship from our hearts to Him. Amen. How wonderful to see you in church this morning. Won't you just turn and greet someone, tell them how good it is to see them, and you may be seated. Thank you. Welcome to Ascend Church. How lovely to see you. We're right in our Christmas week, and I love it. I love it because it turns people's focus on Jesus, right? They might be looking at the baby Jesus, but at least they're looking towards Jesus and God's gift. Amen. Welcome to those that are watching online. We're glad you've joined us, watching us from all over the world. We especially our Ascend Church members, as Pastor Steve said, we miss you. We can't wait to see you again and just participate in the service with us today, because as he said, we are part of a family, right? And I want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. We love having visitors in our church, and we just don't want to embarrass you. Just want to honor you where you are and hand you a visitor bag. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand, then we can welcome you. I know we have visitors, because anyone visiting for the first time, I think that's Kat. Is that Kat? You're visiting for the first time, right? Welcome. We met in Walmart, right? We met in Walmart. I look a bit different in Walmart, right? It was so funny because we were at the checkout counter, and evangelist Mike Francine was with me, and he went to give me a hand, but Catherine had bought all cat food, and Mike thought I'd bought all cat food, and he was taking all her parcels and putting them into my cart, and we got chatting, and then we talked about what she does, and then we talked about church, and she said, I'm coming to visit you, so I'm glad you came. Welcome. Anyone else for the first time? Just want to make sure. God bless you. Come on, family. Give Him a warm welcome. We met you before service. Thank you for being here. And in that visitor pack is a couple of Christmas goodies, but there's a guest card. We ask you just take a moment, fill it out. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bucket by. Just drop that in. It gives Pastor Steve an opportunity to call you and see if you enjoyed the service. So thank you for being here this morning. I just want to remind you of the four platforms. Some of you might think, oh, well, I know those, but there's always people who don't remember.
or never actually have heard it, first of all, you can watch any of our services or previous messages on our website, on ascendchurch.us, on our mobile app. And if you don't have the mobile app, there's a barcode on the seat in front of you. Just scan your, hover your phone camera over it, and it'll take you to the link, and you can upload the app. And then on our YouTube channel, and you know, we got a report from our YouTube channel, and we had, I think we haven't even been going that long on YouTube, and there were over 6,500 views on some of the messages. And let me tell you that these things are out there, and they last, and people share them, and they watch them, and it goes way beyond what happens in these four walls. But if you go ahead and like us, it's Ascend Church Jupiter on YouTube. That's a blessing. Share it with anyone. And lastly, on Facebook Live, if you want to go ahead and share that, it's a way to share with your family, to just spread the message around, and people are blessed by a good Sunday message. Amen. So thank you for doing that. There's ways, if you're watching online, if you want to give, there's links right where you are. You'll see the giving link. Go ahead and do that. We appreciate those that give online. If you are in the service, you would rather be listening in Spanish. We have a Spanish translation currently running. And so if you need help, just wave your hand and Usher will give you the instructions. All you need is a smartphone and some earphones. And you can hear the service in Spanish. Or is there anyone that requires that? I think no one's going to be using it today. I know. That's what I'm asking. Does anybody? Okay, if no one's using it. However, we do have it available on our YouTube and on our website, that it could be watched in either English or in Spanish, which is a blessing too. That lastly, our four main purposes of our church, first of all, is that you would know God, that you would find freedom, you would discover your purpose, and you'd make a difference with your life. Amen. I love that. I love that. And as we prepare for the message today, I want you to just have your hearts open. The Bible says that the word of God is seed that is sown into the soil of our hearts. And when we open our hearts to receive it, it produces fruit in our life. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Good morning, everybody. How are you? Did you notice that Rolling Stones? Missed you? Anyone else pick that up? Good job there, man. Dave, good job. Great. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here today. I would like to request, as I have last week, I want to request, please, those folks who are sitting behind the two columns, would you please move a little forward? We would love to fill up these empty chairs. We film our service. It's going to be on TV Sunday mornings on Fox 29 at 7:30, and we want our church to look the best that it can. Don't you agree? And it's kind of silly to have people sitting behind the camera. We can't see you. We'd love to have you in the congregation. So if you're sitting back there, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus to please come and fill up these rows. And if you're sitting in these sections at the front, what would help is if you could move in a little bit and not have empty seats in between. If you could move in, because there's our camera right over there. That's what we're filming you on. So thank you so much. Did anyone see the television show this morning? Did you see it? Well, I've started recording. I just record it. So I watch it when I get home. So anyway, praise the Lord. Are you ready for God's word today? Let's pray one more time. Father, we thank you for your presence here this morning. Jesus, this is all about you. We're here to lift you up. We're here to proclaim you. We're here to worship you. We're here to talk about you. Lord Jesus, we love you today. We thank you that you are good and you are faithful. And Lord, I thank you today that you will speak to every heart. I pray that you will touch every life, Lord. I pray that not one of us will leave here the same way that we came in, but we will be stirred up, Father. We will become passionate about the mission that you have given us in this world, in Jesus' name. name. If you agree, say amen. Thank you so much, everybody. Praise the Lord. Well, good morning. I'm Steve Barry. I'm the pastor of Ascend Church here in Jupiter, Florida. And if you live anywhere near Jupiter, within 50 miles, I want to invite you. We'd love to have you come and visit our church. I promise you, we have such friendly people. They'll make you feel so welcome. Your kids will have fun in children's church. So we hope to see you soon, don't we, everybody? Amen. Amen. Now, today, I want to speak about your mission. Jesus said in John 17, verse 18, in the same way that you gave me a mission in the world. He said, Father, the same way you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. I'm consecrating myself for their sake, so they'll be consecrated to their mission. In other words, Jesus was dedicated and sold out to the mission that he came to this earth for. He said, Father, you sent me with a mission, and I'm now giving them a mission in this world. You have a mission. Yes. The word mission comes from the Latin word. It means literally to send. And that's what the New King James Version says. It says, as you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. Now, you know, at Christmas time, we think about Jesus was sent to this world with a mission. Is that right? What was that mission that he came to the world with? Luke 19, verse 10, Jesus said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came to save us. Jesus came for you. Jesus came for me. We were all lost. He came to seek and save the lost. He came to lay down his life, to go to that cross, to take our sin, to bring us freedom, to bring us forgiveness, to bring us redemption. Jesus was sent to the world to bring us salvation. Isn't that right? That was his mission. And Jesus has given you and I a mission in this world. What is the mission that Jesus has given us? In Matthew 28, verse 19, he said, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you. And then Mark recorded it like this. In Mark 16, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Living Bible says you are to go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone, everywhere. You see, the gospel is good news. We are to be proclaiming good news. When you come to church, you should be hearing good news. Amen. The mission that Jesus has given you is to reach out and share the good news of the gospel with everyone, everywhere, to bring people to Jesus and then to disciple them, to teach them the things you've learned. This mission is for every believer. Say, this mission is for me. Say, Jesus was on a mission to seek and save the lost. Say, I am also on a mission from God. I am sent to seek and save those who lost. Did anyone ever see the movie The Blues Brothers back in the day? The Blues Brothers with John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd and Aretha Franklin and, there's so many stars in it. Anyway, it's back in the day, but They have this thing, we're on a mission from God. We're on a mission. Their mission is to put the band back together. That's their mission. Let me tell you, you and I truly can say, we are on a mission from God. We are here with a mission. The will of God for every church and every believer is very simple. It is to lead others to Christ and teach them the word of God. That's the reason churches exist. Jesus said it's not enough just to win souls. They need to be in a local church. They need to be discipled. They need to be taught the word of God. Amen? Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 16, I will build my church and all the powers of hell shall not prevail against it. I will build my church. Whose church is it? I got news for you. Whose church is this? This is Jesus' church. Jesus said, I'm building my church. I've had people tell me, well, I don't really like church. Church is Jesus' idea. It ain't my idea. It's his church. He's built anything Jesus is building, I love. I'm going to be a part of what he is building. Amen. The church is what Jesus is building. Do you know we call to be co-laborers with the Lord? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, we are co-workers with God. And you are God's cultivated garden, the house he is building. You see, when Jesus said, I'll build my church, that's you and me. The church is made up of people. The church is not this building. This building is where the church meets. Are you with me? And the Bible says we co-laborers with the Lord. Say, I'm a co-worker with God. We are co-workers with the Lord. Doing what? Building the church. That's what he's building. If you want to work with God, get involved in building the church. And everybody said, amen. Our mission is to lead people to Jesus and then teach them. This is the purpose God has given for the church. And he wants us all to be united in this mission. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10, the Apostle Paul said, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Say, no divisions. Tell your neighbor, no divisions. It says, rather be of one mind, united in thought and united in purpose. God wants us to be united in purpose. Amen. We stand united in this purpose. A lot of people have their own ideas about what the church should be doing. Some people think that I should be preaching about politics, that I should be telling people who you should vote for. Listen, my job is to preach the gospel, and I'm trying to win everybody to Jesus. The reason why I do not mention politics in church is that's not what God called me to do. God called me to preach the gospel, teach people the word of God. There's other people, they think that the church's priority should be on social issues. Feeding the poor, helping single moms, rescuing people from sex trafficking. Those are all good things. Those are all important things. Those are things that we support. But let me tell you, even if you feed everybody in the world, and even if you destroy sex trafficking around the world, if they all die and go to hell, what good is it? What good is it anyway? Our most important purpose, my most important purpose, family, the most important purpose for a church is bringing eternal life to people, leading them to Jesus, and teaching them the Word of God. That's my most important purpose. Thank you for your enthusiasm this morning. In Mark 16, verse 14, Jesus, it said, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and for their hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. So when Jesus rose from the dead and they went and told the disciples he's been risen, they didn't believe him. And the Bible says Jesus rebuked them for their hardness of heart. And then the next breath, look what he says. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The same people that didn't believe, the same people that said, I don't believe it's risen from the dead, Jesus rebukes them and he says, now go preach the gospel to every creature. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons, and they will speak with new tongues, and they will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And so after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out, and they preached everywhere. And the Lord was working with them, confirming the word through the accompanying signs and wonders. Miracles started happening. Things started happening. Supernatural things started happening as they went out preaching the gospel. But what's amazing to me is Jesus first rebuked them because of their unbelief, and yet he commanded these same people to go take the gospel into all the world. I mean, you would have think he would have said to them, listen, I wanted you, I called you, I intended for you to go and preach the gospel, but you disqualified yourself now because of your unbelief. You wouldn't believe I was risen. Now I'm not going to let you go. Let me tell you, God will use imperfect people to do this job, to fulfill this mission. Everybody say, I qualify. Let me tell you, God wants to use you to speak for Him. You are His representative in this world. You represent the Lord. That's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. It says, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. How many of you know when you received Christ into your life, He changed your life and you became a brand new person? Amen. That's what the Scripture says. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. All of this is a gift from God who brought us back to Himself through Christ. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to Him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And He has given us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. Say, I'm Christ's ambassador. God is making His appeal through us. We speak for Christ. Say, I speak for Christ. We speak for Christ when we say, come back to God. You are an ambassador for Jesus. Every believer is. Every one of you. What is an ambassador? An ambassador, the dictionary says, is a diplomat that is sent by a monarch or a country as its official representative on a mission to a foreign country. Let me tell you, the Bible says in Philippians 3, verse 20, our homeland is heaven, where our Savior, the Lord Jesus, is, and we are looking forward to His return. Can I tell you something right now? This world is not your home. This world is not your homeland. Our homeland is in heaven. We're here in this foreign place as aliens on a mission from God. That's what the Bible teaches. 1 Peter 2:11 says, friends, this world is not your home. So don't make yourselves cozy in it. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. Live an exemplary life among the natives so that your actions will refute their prejudices. Then they will be won over to God's side and they will be there to join in the celebration when He arrives. We are citizens of heaven where Jesus is the King. This world is not our permanent home. We're just passing through. We are in this world to be Christ's ambassadors and representatives. You are an ambassador sent by God on a mission to reconcile people to God, to help people get right with God, to help bring people back to God, to help people to know God. This is an honor and a privilege that we all share. God is making His appeal to people through you. You need to see yourself as His ambassador. Say, I am Christ's ambassador. You represent Christ, family. Listen, it is never about you. It's about Jesus. It's about the great work He's done. Maybe you don't think you can speak for God. Maybe you don't have the confidence or the boldness. Do you know that Moses didn't think that he could speak for God either? Do you know that when God spoke to Moses from the burning bush and God told him, I'm sending you to Pharaoh, do you know what Moses said to him in Exodus chapter 3? Moses said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of it? Who am I, Lord? So the Lord said, I will certainly be with you. In Exodus 4, verse 1, Moses protested again. But what if they don't believe me? What if they don't listen to me? In verse 10, Moses pleaded with the Lord, Lord, I'm not very good with words. I don't speak very well. I've never been. I'm not right now. Even though you've spoken to me, I get tongue-tied. My words get all tangled. In verse 13, Moses pleaded, Lord, please send somebody else. Moses didn't believe that he could do what God had called him to do. He didn't believe he could speak for God. Yet look at what God did through Moses' life. One of the most amazing leaders ever existed in the Bible, Moses. Isn't that right? I don't want you to doubt that God can use you. I'm thinking Mike Francine, right here with us today, my good friend, Mike Francine. when he was in high school, when he was a senior in high school, he had to give a 2-minute speech about basketball. Then he loved basketball. After 1 minute, he couldn't breathe anymore. He had to sit down. He failed the class because he couldn't give a 2-minute speech about basketball. And he went into college and he received Jesus in his life. And 6 weeks later, he was out preaching the gospel and he met a man named Benson Idahosa who lives in Nigeria, who invited him to come to Nigeria and stay with him. And he went for 3 months and he watched Benson Idahosa do big crusades, 3 big crusades in Nigeria. And he said, I can do that. And he went to the Philippines with $120 in his pocket. And he had little flyers printed up, bring the blind, the maimed, the deaf, they're going to be healed. And he handed them out all over. And then when he got there in the Philippines, the first night of his first crusade ever, there were so many sick people. The place was just packed with all these sick people, blind people, deaf people. And Mike went behind the stage and he said, Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me. What have I done? I'll never do it again, Lord. I'm so sorry. And he went and preached. And his first miracle was a man who hadn't heard in 35 years. God healed his ears. And then another man who was lame, had never walked in his life. God healed him. And then a woman had a big tumor on her neck and it was healed. It fell right off and there were hundreds of people healed. 3,000 people got saved and that was the beginning. Mike went on and Mike has been to 103 nations and he's had 300 international crusades and he's led 13 million people to Christ and he's seen untold miracles. So let me tell you, don't you sit here and say I can't speak for God, because you've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you and you never know how God can use you. You never know where God will take you until you step out in the name of Jesus and open your mouth and begin to speak and fulfill the mission God has for your life. Can you say amen, somebody? Let me tell you, God is with you just like he was with Moses. He's backing you up. He's anointed you. He's equipped you with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1 verse 8, the Bible says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Say, I've been given the power to be a witness. That's what the Message translation says. It says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be able to be my witnesses. Say, I am able. Say, I am able. The Holy Spirit is with you to enable you, to help you, and to give you the words to say. That's what it says. Jesus said in Luke 12, verse 11, don't worry about what you'll say. Don't worry about how you'll say it. The right words will be there. The Holy Spirit will give you the right words when the time comes. Let me tell you, if you will just be willing to open your mouth and speak for God, you will be amazed at the words that will come out of your mouth. You'll be like, where did that come from? It's the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. He's just waiting for you to have that, take that step of boldness and speak for him. Can you say amen? You are God's ambassador. You are on a mission. That is why you are here. God wants to use you. Jesus said in Matthew 5:13, let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be the salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of the earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and you'll end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in this world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with it. Say, God's not a secret. Say, I'm not keeping a secret anymore. Some of us act like the Lord is the biggest secret we've got to keep to ourselves. He's not a secret, man. I'm going public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, don't think you're going to hide under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep an open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father that is in heaven. Let me tell you, say, God put me here to let my light shine, to draw people to Jesus. Say, God's called me to be his ambassador. Let me tell you, family, that is the highest calling and purpose for your life. If the president called you and said, I've got a job for you, I'm sending Air Force One to pick you up, bring you to the White House, I want you to be an ambassador to this country. I want you to be ambassador to Israel. I want you to be ambassador to whatever. Let me tell you, family, that's what the Lord has called us to be. Thanks, Marco. Amen. That's what God has called us to be. We are His ambassadors. How would you react if the president asked you to be an ambassador? Because let me tell you, the King of Kings, the Creator of the universe, has called you to be His ambassador. The question is, will you do it? Will you accept that calling? In 2 Timothy 1, verse 8, Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, don't be embarrassed to speak up for our master or for me, his prisoner. Take your share of suffering for the message along with the rest of us. We can only keep on going after all by the power of God. He first saved us, and then he called us to this holy work. We had nothing to do with it. It was all his idea, a gift prepared for us in Jesus long before we knew anything about it. Do you know that God knew that you were going to belong to him, and he knew that you were going to be his ambassador long before you were even born? God has called you to this mission. There are almost 7 billion people. I think there's more than 7 billion people, isn't there, on the world today? It's around 7 billion. Is that right? And let me tell you, the majority of the 7 billion people on the earth today are headed for hell. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 13, heaven can be entered only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad. The highway to hell is broad. And its gate is wide enough for all the multitudes to choose its easy way. When I was young, I used to like AC/DC. I still do like them, but I don't like this song. I'm on a highway to hell. I'm on a highway. I used to sing that. I'm on a highway. Me and my friends, we're going to party. Let me tell you. When you see hell, there ain't no one partying in hell. Hell is a place of torment. Jesus said the gateway to life is small, the road is narrow, only a few find it. The multitudes are on that broad highway that leads to hell. In John 10, verse 9, Jesus said, I'm the gate, those who come in through me will be saved. The only way to be saved is through Jesus. In John 14, 6, Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one can come to the Father except by me. Let me tell you, maybe somebody told you that it doesn't matter. There's many roads to God. There's many different religions. It's all the same God. They lied to you. There's only one way to heaven, and his name is Jesus. There's only one way to be saved, and his name is Jesus. And the reason why that is because Jesus alone is the Son of God. He left heaven. He came to the earth. He laid his life down. He took our sin. He is the only gate to heaven. He is the only way to God. Is Jesus Christ. The only way to heaven is through Jesus. And family, this is our mission. We must go and seek and save the lost. We must tell them there's good news, man. Hell is real, but you don't have to go there. Jesus has paid the price for you to redeem it. Let me tell you, Jesus, he was our example. The Bible says he was called a friend of sinners and a wine bibber, and he went where the lost people were, and we're called to do the same, to let our light shine. You know, why is it that so many believers, they seem to be oblivious of the lost people around them and God's mission for their life? So many believers, they're so caught up in things that really don't matter, things that really don't last. Let me tell you, Jesus left you here to reach lost people. You were told to tell another. You were found to find another. You were reached to reach another. It's time for us to awaken and give ourselves fully to the purpose, to the mission that God has called us to. Every believer is called to this mission, family, and every single believer is needed in this mission. And the tragedy is most Christians are going to live and die without ever winning anyone to Christ. That's the tragedy. May God forgive us. May God help us if we're so caught up in our own life that we allow the lost people around us to go to hell. Let me tell you, God's going to hold us responsible. In Ezekiel 3, verse 18, it says, when I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and you don't give him any warning, or you don't speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man will die in his iniquity, but his blood I'm going to require at your hand. Why? Because you didn't say anything. Someone said, well, Pastor Steve, that's in the Old Testament. Let me tell you what the Apostle Paul said in the New Testament. In Acts 18, he said, after Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul spent all his time preaching the word. He testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. But when they opposed him and when they insulted him, Paul shook the dust from his clothes. He said, your blood is on your own heads. I am innocent. From now on, I will preach to the Gentiles. You see, my responsibility is to share the good news. Whether that person receives it or not, that is no longer my responsibility. You understand? And every believer is an ambassador. Every one of us is sent by Jesus with this mission to seek and save lost people. I'm responsible to reach lost people around me. We are the body of Christ on the earth. Let me tell you, God has no voice in the earth except for your voice. I challenge you today to commit yourself to being Christ's ambassador. Commit to the mission Jesus has given us of winning souls. Your mission begins the moment you leave this place today. Your mission begins. That's the mission field out there. Don't let the enemy put you off, because I tell you, there'll never be a better time than right now. There'll never be a better time than right now to reach people with the gospel. People are fearful. People need to hear good news. Can you say amen? Every one of us, we must take advantage of every opportunity to reach out to every lost person we come into contact with. Jesus said in John 4, verse 35, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. In Joel 3:13, it says, put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Multitudes are in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Let me tell you, it is harvest time right now. Let me tell you, people are ready. They're in the place where they will make a decision. They will receive Jesus if somebody will just tell them. In Proverbs 10, verse 5, it says, he who gathers in summer is a wise son, and he who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. Listen, I don't want to be a son who causes shame. I'm not going to sleep in the time of harvest. I'm going to tell the good news to people. I'm going to make disciples. I'm going to be his ambassador. I'm going to be about my Father's business. I'm going to be fulfilling the mission God has given us. How about you? The Bible says in Proverbs 11, verse 30, he who wins souls is wise. Why is he wise? Because when you live with the purpose of winning people to Christ, you are laying up treasure in heaven for all eternity. The scripture says in Daniel 12, verse 3, those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever. Let me tell you, the true stars in the kingdom of God are the soul winners. The true people who shine. In this world, the stars are athletes. The stars or make movie stars. The stars, those are people in this are considered stars. In the kingdom of God, the stars are the soul winners, the people who go after the lost. Those are the stars who shine in the kingdom of God. Leading people to Jesus, let me tell you, is the wisest thing you can do with your life. You are gathering eternal rewards. I pray that God will birth in each and every one of us today a new passion to win people to the Lord. You've been called, you've been chosen, you've been empowered, you've been anointed. You are well able to fulfill this mission. Don't sit on the sidelines. Listen, get in the game. God needs every one of us to do our part to share this good news with everybody, everywhere. Can you say amen? It's our primary purpose on the earth is to get people saved, lead them to Christ, disciple them. The Apostle Paul said it like this in Acts 20, 24. He said, but my life is worth nothing. It's worth nothing to me unless I use it for doing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Paul said, if I don't use my life to tell others the good news about the grace of God, my life is worthless. Right. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good today. We've all been assigned the same work. It's God's highest calling for every believer. It's our mission in life, family. In Colossians 1:28, Paul said, everywhere we go, we tell everyone about Christ. He said in verse 29, I work very hard at this. I depend on Christ's mighty power that works in me. Paul said, everywhere we go, we work hard at telling everyone about Jesus? Are you working hard everywhere you go at telling people about Jesus? That's why God gave you the power of the Holy Spirit, is to be a witness for him. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, work at bringing others to Christ. He said, work at bringing others to Christ. He told the church in Rome, in Romans 1, verse 9, he said, God knows how often I pray for you. Day and night I bring you in your needs in prayer to God, whom I serve with all my heart by telling others the good news about his son. Paul said, I serve God by telling others the good news of Jesus. Do you know when you tell others the good news of Jesus, you are serving the Lord with all your heart? Amen. Serving God means telling other people about him. If we're following Jesus, we're going to be fishers of men. That's what Jesus told Peter. Matthew 4:19, Jesus said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Say, I'm a fisher of men. This world is not your home. You belong to another world. You're a citizen of heaven. You represent the king from the kingdom that sent you, and your role on this earth is very important. God has a mission. You have a message the world needs to hear. Let's share it. Let's be ambassadors for Christ. Let's believe that God can use you. Let's think of people you can connect with and be bold to speak for the Lord. Amen. That's why you're here. You're God's ambassador on a mission. Be a soul winner. Let me tell you the six motivations of a soul winner. The mightiest soul winner was the Apostle Paul. What motivated the Apostle Paul? What motivated the greatest missionary that the world has ever known? Well, number one, the soul winner's compulsion. The soul winner's compulsion. What was Paul's compulsion? In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9, he said, wherefore we labor, whether we are present or absent, to be accepted, that we may be accepted by him. Now, that doesn't mean that we try and work our way into heaven. What Paul is saying is, I want God to be pleased with me. In fact, that's what the Passion Bible, that's how it translates it. It says, our life's passion is to live our lives pleasing to him. My life's passion is I want to please God. I want to stand before him one day, and I want him to say, Steve, well done. You fulfilled the mission that I had for your life. That's what my life is about. If you're not endeavoring to bring people to Jesus, you're not going to be living a life that's pleasing unto God, because that's what he's called you to do. It's not acceptable to God if we are not endeavoring to share the good news and bring others to Christ. And I'm going to come back to verse 10 in 2 Corinthians 5, 11. It says, because we understand our fearful responsibility of the to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. See, regardless of how much money you give or how faithfully you attend church or how circumspectly you may live your life, if you are not endeavoring to bring people to Jesus, that you are not pleasing him. No matter who you are and no matter who you may please, if you displease God, you're a failure. But if you please God, it doesn't matter how many people that you may displease, you are a success. Amen. And the way to please God is by bringing people to Jesus. Paul said, you want to know why I work so hard? Because he was compelled to be acceptable and pleasing to God. That's the first motivation of soul, to win souls. The soul winner's compulsion is because I want to please God with my life. Secondly, the soul winner's compensation. That's the second motivation of a soul winner, is the soul winner's compensation. If you look at the verse that between 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9 and 11, the verse between verse 10, it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that we must each receive his pay according to what he has done in the body, whether good or evil, considering what his purpose and his motive have been, and what he has achieved, and what he's been busy with, and what he's given himself and his attention to accomplishing. Listen, one day we're all going to stand before God. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of God, and we're going to give an account. What did we give our time to? What did we give our attention to? What did we focus our life on? We are going to be rewarded for what we focused our life on. See, I don't want to focus my life just on the things on this world, because this world's passing away. I want to focus my life on laying up treasure in heaven. I'm focused on the life beyond. The day is coming. We're going to be rewarded. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. It's not the same judgment as the great white throne judgment. The word judgment here is the word bema, and it's talking about a raised platform like in the middle of the Olympic field where the athletes would come and receive their reward, first, second, third. We are going to be rewarded for fulfilling God's purpose for our life. We're going to be rewarded for winning souls. What will our compensation be? 1 Corinthians 9:24, Paul said, isn't it obvious that all runners on the racetrack keep on running to win, but only one receives the victor's prize? Yet each one of you must run the race to be victorious. A true athlete will be disciplined in every respect, practicing self-control in order to win a laurel wreath that quickly withers away. But we run our race to win a victor's crown that will last forever. You know what that's telling me? There are people in this world that focus so much on rewards that are so temporary, that are so fleeting. The Bible says your life on this earth is like a vapor. It appears for a moment and it vanishes away. I don't want to focus on these temporary things. I want to focus on a reward that is for eternal. Let me tell you what you do for God. When you fulfill God's mission for your life, you are going to be rewarded, and it's going to be for eternity, not just for 50, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, but forever. You're going to be rewarded for what you did on this earth. That's why I am so determined to focus my life on fulfilling God's mission that He's given to me. How about you? If you want to get that victor's imperishable crown, you've got to train yourself and discipline yourself and run with all your might. Have you ever won a crown for school sports? Where's that crown now? I bet you don't even know. When you win souls to Jesus, you don't get a perishable crown that quickly withers away. You receive a crown that lasts forever. There are rewards that God has laid up for us for fulfilling His purpose. Amen? Can you say amen? Let me tell you, this judgment seat of Christ is going to be a reward for some, but it's going to be a regret for others. The Bible says in 3 verse 11, for no one can lay any other foundation other than what we have already laid, that is Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, straw. It says on judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, that builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. Now, how about, I don't want to barely make it into heaven by the skin of my teeth. I want to have rewards laid up. Are you with me? I want to build my life with gold and silver and jewels, not with wood, hay, stubble that is going to be burned up. That's what Paul is telling us. He's telling us why he labored. There is a compensation. There is a reward that God is going to give us when we stand before Him. There's a judgment seat where every believer is going to appear. One day you're going to have your own version of the TV show, This Is Your Life. And you, let me tell you, if you're a soul winner, if you've given your life to build the church of Jesus, your life will be gold and silver and precious stones. But if you're not, your life will be wood, hay, and stubble. I want you to stand before God and Him say, well done, and Him reward you for fulfilling the mission that He had for you. I want you to imagine yourself standing before the judgment seat. Will you be rewarded? Some people say they don't believe in rewards, but let me tell you, God believes in rewards. Jesus said in Luke 22, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. Jesus believes in rewards. In 1 Corinthians 3 verse 8, the one who plants and the one who waters, they work together for the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their hard work. In Matthew 6, 20, Jesus said, lay up for yourselves a treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where the thieves don't break in and steal. Lay up treasure in heaven. Let me tell you, don't think that everyone has the same rewards in heaven. You've got to lay up treasure in heaven. The judgment seat is a time of reward, but it'll also be a time of regret for some. What you do for God on this earth will be rewarded. And I don't want anything. I don't want everything that I live for to go up in flames. If I don't live to fulfill God's will, it will go up in flames. Churches are filled with people whose lives are wood, hay, and stubble. And one of these days, sooner than you think, you're going to stand before the judgment seat and you're going to receive the things done in your body while you're on this earth. And you can't win any souls in heaven. The place to win souls to Jesus is while you are on this earth. All the soul winning you're ever going to do for all eternity, you got to do it now, family. Amen.
The second reason that you got to win souls is because of the soul winner's reward, the soul winner's compensation. The third reason is because of the soul winner's conviction. That's the third motivation. In 2 Corinthians 5:11, it says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Because we know the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You see, because we know what it means for a person to die unsaved and not knowing Jesus and go to hell, we do all we can to persuade people to follow Jesus. If let me tell you, you don't hear much about hell in most churches today. Some people actually get upset if you mention hell in church. I know people right now that came out of seminary and they've been teaching annihilation, which means when you die, that's the end of you. They don't believe in hell. Let me tell you, Jesus believed in hell. Jesus spoke a lot about hell. When my friend Bill Weiss, who wrote the book 23 Minutes in Hell, when he was researching to write his book, he could only find one sermon about hell in all the churches in California. One sermon about hell. Let me tell you, there is a place of everlasting fire and torment that the Bible calls hell. And when you lead someone to Jesus, they no longer are facing eternity in hell. They no longer have to fear the terror of the Lord. They're delivered from the kingdom of darkness. And instead of being on that broad highway going to hell, they're on the narrow path that leads to eternal life. They can be saved from it. People have told me, well, Pastor Steve, I don't believe in hell. Just because you don't believe in it, it doesn't mean that it's not real. I'm going to believe Jesus a lot more than I'm going to believe you. If there's no hell, the Bible's untrue. And Jesus is a deceiver because Jesus spoke a lot about hell. Jesus said in Mark 9:43, if your hand entices you to sin, let it go limp and useless, for it is better for you to enter into life maimed than to have your entire body thrown into hell, the place of unquenchable fire. What are you telling me? Jesus just trying to trick us? He's just making it up? There's no real place called hell? Are you nuts or something? It says in verse 44, this is a place where the maggots never die and the fire never goes out. There is a real place called hell. And I would rather tell you about it now and you got mad with me than never tell you and you go there. I'd rather tell you the truth today. Amen. If there is no hell, why did Jesus die on the cross? If there is no hell, how can there be a heaven? Because the same Bible talks about hell, talks about heaven. We can't pick and choose what parts of the Bible we want to believe. Well, I believe there's heaven, but I believe there's hell, Pastor. Who cares what you believe? What I care is what the Bible says, what Jesus, he knows what he's talking about. The devil would love to convince you there's no hell. Hell is real. There are people right now going into hell as we speak. The Apostle Paul spoke about the terror of the Lord. This generation doesn't understand this. The Bible says about the people in the last days, in Romans 3:18, it says they have no fear of God at all. Some people say, well, Pastor Steve, isn't God a God of love? Yes, he's a God of love. That's why he sent Jesus. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That's why he sent Jesus, family. But if you just preach about the love of God at the exclusion of the judgment of God, you're only giving half the truth. And when half the truth becomes the only truth, then it becomes an untruth. Amen. The third motivation to win souls is because of the soul winner's conviction that hell is real. The fourth reason for a soul winner to win souls is the soul winner's compassion. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, it is Christ's love that fuels our passion and motivates us because we're absolutely convinced that he's given his life for all of us. That means we all died with him. So that those who live should no longer live self-absorbed lives, but lives that are poured out for him, the one who died for us and now lives again. The Bible says Jesus gave his life for us and we should now live for him. We shouldn't live self-absorbed lives, but we should live for his purpose and his mission. Amen. The love of Christ motivates us. Paul's compassion is driving him. How can we say we love Jesus, but we don't care about souls that Jesus died for? In John 21:15, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. And Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. A third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt that he asked the question. A third time he said, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. Let me tell you, my love for Jesus is what motivates me to win souls for him. That's the chief motivation of my life. Amen. The fourth motivation of a soul winner is the soul winner's compassion. Number five, the soul winner's confidence is the fifth motivation. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:16, we do not evaluate people by what they have or by how they look. We looked at the Messiah that way once and we got it all wrong, as you know. We certainly don't look at them that way anymore. Now we look on the inside and what we see is that anyone that is united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone. A new life burgeons. Let me tell you, Paul's confidence is if I lead a person to Christ, they will be created a new person. Their life will change. They will become a brand new person. Paul said we don't look at people by how they look or by what they have. We don't care whether people are big shots or whether people are little shots, whether people are rich or whether they're poor, whether they're educated, whether they're uneducated, whether they're weak or whether they're strong, whether they're famous, whether they're non-famous. We see every person as a soul for whom Jesus died, that we are committed to do everything we can to reach them for the Lord Jesus. Can you say amen? All people are important to Jesus, and we reach out to everybody we can. We're confident God will make them new. We're confident because we have the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to see every person as your potential brother and every woman as your potential sister. Can you say amen? Amen. Let me tell you, when we go fishing for fish, we take fish out of a beautiful life into death. But when you fish for people, you take people out of death and you bring them into a beautiful life. Number six, the soul winner's commission. Jesus told us to go into all the world and make disciples, to share the good news, to be his ambassador. You have been given a ministry of reconciliation. You have been reconciled to God through Christ, and now it is our mission and commission to reconcile other people to the Lord. Paul was motivated by that great commission, and we should be too. God's called us, God's commissioned us, God's empowered us. Say, God's called me, God's empowered me, God's commissioned me to be a soul winner. Let me tell you, you don't have to know everything about the Bible. You simply tell people what Jesus has done for you. The best soul winners are often new believers. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus got in a boat with his disciples. He crossed the Lake Gennesaret. A storm arose. He calmed the storm down. Jesus went to minister to one man who was possessed with a legion of demons. He was homeless. He didn't wear any clothes. He was run around naked. He was restrained by chains. He would break the chains because of the demons on the inside of them that were tormenting him. Jesus cast those demons out of the man into a herd of swine. The man was set free. He wanted to go with Jesus, but Jesus said to him in Luke 8, chapter 39, go back to your family and tell them everything that God has done for you. So he went out throughout all the town proclaiming the great things Jesus has done for him. Let me tell you, you can win souls. All you got to do is tell the great things the Lord has done for you. You got a story, just tell your story. If you were given $1,000 cash for every soul you led to Christ, would that make a difference? If I said to you, I'm going to give you $1,000 for every new person you bring to church, I can guarantee you, we have a whole bunch of brand new people next week like you never seen. It's a matter of motivation. These are six mighty motivations. The soul winner's compulsion, the soul winner's compensation, the soul winner's conviction, the soul winner's compassion, the soul winner's confidence, the soul winner's commission. We have a mission. God wants everyone to be saved. 1 Timothy 2 verse 4, I'm almost done, hang in there. It says here, he wants not only us, but everyone saved. God wants everyone saved. You know, everyone to get to know the truth we've learned, that there's only one God, and there's only one priest mediator between God and us, that is Jesus, who offered himself in exchange for everyone held captive by sin to set them all free. Eventually, this news is going to get out. This and this only has been my appointed work, getting this news to those who've never heard of God and explaining how it works by simple faith and plain truth. Paul said, that has been my last word. It's good to know how to share the gospel. Can I tell you real quick as we close? I'm going to tell you real quick how to share the gospel with someone. Number one, here's what you've got to know. We are all sinners. Romans 3 verse 23 says, everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. We're all sinners. Number two, we cannot save ourselves. Romans 5 verse 6, for when the time was right, the anointed one came and died to demonstrate his love for sinners who were entirely helpless, weak, and powerless to save ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. You cannot be so good and do so many good things that you're going to get to heaven because of your goodness. Because if you could, Jesus didn't have to come to the earth. You cannot save yourself. Titus 3 verse 5 says he came to save us not because of any virtuous deed that we've done, but only because of his mercy. Number three, you've got to know that God is holy and God must punish sin. In Exodus 34, 7, it says he does not leave the guilty unpunished. God is a holy, righteous judge, and he must judge and punish sin. Romans 6, 23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Number four, you've got to know that God loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus to pay the price for your sin. John 3, 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And number five, salvation is a free gift that you receive through faith in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2 verse 8, for by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. And Romans 10 verse 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart, God will raise him from the dead, you'll be saved. I just presented the gospel to you in a matter of a few minutes. If you just jot those things down, that's how you share the gospel. Galatians 3, 26, we're all children of God through faith in Christ. Now, when you came in today, did you get a gospel script when you came in today? Did they give you the gospel script card, the gospel script? No? On a card, Monique? All right. When you go out today, when you leave today, Rox, Roy, the ushers, we have a gospel script written out on a card that you can take with you in your Bible. I have had people take that gospel script and just read it to people and get them saved. Lead them to Jesus. Just let me read this card to you. Just read the card. Read the. Now, I'm not saying you have to do it the way. I'm saying I'm giving you the gospel, so we got no reason to. I'm helping you, giving you tools to become a soul winner. Can you say amen? You got to know how to share the gospel. Amen. But let me tell you, you just tell people what Jesus did for you. Tell your story. I think about Janice McDonald invited Tony Carrada to come to church 12 times. 12 times. He never came the first time. He never came the second. He never came the 10th time. He never came the 11th time. But the 12th time, he came to church. And he got saved. And then Tony started inviting Nick and Deanne. He invited Nick and Deanne for 3 months. 3 months he invited them. There's Nick and Deanne. Listen, you never know what's going to happen. It's as simple as inviting someone to come to church. They're whole. Aren't you glad Tony invited you to come to church? Aren't you glad he invited you, Nick? I'm so glad that that Janice invited Tony. I'm so glad Janice invited Tony. Amen. I pray your heart is stirred today to the mission God has given you to speak for him, to lead people to Jesus. How many of you will commit today to being a soul winner for the Lord? How many of you will say, Lord, how many of you commit to, I'm going to fulfill the mission God has for my life in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to fulfill God's mission. Amen. I want to encourage you. Listen, it's just as simple as inviting someone to church. Invite someone to our Christmas Eve service. Invite someone next Sunday. They'll hear the gospel. We give the altar call. I believe they will be saved. Amen. Will you do it? I said, will you do it? Will you do it today? Amen. Bow your heads. I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you for every person here today and every person watching this. Lord, I've shared your word today. I've spoken about the mission that you've given us. And I pray, Father, that your word has gone forth into every heart. I pray that every heart is stirred today. I pray that we go out of here with a new passion. We go out of here, Lord, with a new fire to be your ambassador, to speak for Jesus, to share the good news, to invite people to church, to tell what good things the Lord has done. I thank you, Lord, that this is a soul-winning church. And I thank you, Lord, that we are out every week and sharing the good news and inviting people, bringing others. I thank you, Lord, we are making disciples. We're all about making disciples. I thank you, Lord, that Ascend Church is a soul-winning, disciple-making, divine healing, setting free church in Jesus' name. Now listen, while you have your head bowed, while you have your eyes closed, I just want to pray before we close. I want to pray especially for anyone here this morning. If you're not sure where you stand with God today, if you're not sure if all is right between you and the Lord today, I want to ask you this question. If you died today, can you say that you know for sure? Can you say you know for certain? If you die, you know you'd go to heaven. You're absolutely sure that all is right between you and God? Or would you have to be honest? and say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church, but I'm not absolutely sure. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church, and I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. My question is, are you certain if you were to die today that you would go to heaven? Because the good news is you can be sure about it. You can walk out of here today. You can know that all is right with you and God. You can know that every sin and mistake you ever committed in your life, it's forgiven, is washed away. And you can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. Let me tell you, heaven's a real place. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. I want to pray for you this morning. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand. But right where you sit, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to know all is right, all is well between me and God. Pray for me, please. If that's you, I want you quickly, just slip your hand up, lift it up high. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in that prayer this morning. Thank you. Just lift it up right now. Here's my hand. Pray for me, Pastor Steve. I see hands being raised. I see hands being raised. Thank you, Lord. I want every person who raised your hand, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I want you to say this prayer. Leslie, your friend you invited today. Where you at, Leslie? Your friend you invited today lifted a hand for prayer. If you never invited her, that would never have happened today. I want everyone who lifted your hand, everyone in the building, please say this prayer with me today. Say this, say, dear God, everybody, say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much. You sent Jesus, your son, to come to this earth for me, to die on a cross for me, to take my sin, my punishment. Lord, you said that if I would believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, if I would confess Jesus is Lord, you said I will be saved. Come on, say this with me. Say, Lord, I believe. Jesus, you are alive. You've been raised from the dead. And I ask you to come into my life, come into my heart. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Save me today. I confess, Jesus, you now Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to live for you. Say this, say, Lord, I thank you because I have received you and believed in you. I am now saved. I'm a child of God. Say, God, you're my very own father. I'm your very own child. Heaven is my home, and my name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And everybody said, amen. The Bible says all of heaven rejoices when one person receives Christ. Heaven's rejoicing today. And I want to congratulate you if you raised your hand, if you said that prayer. Please remain seated for a minute. We are going to be closing in a few minutes from now. And we have a gift for you. So if you lifted your hand during that prayer, stay in your seat. We're going to bring a gift to you before you go. We're going to give to the Lord. We're going to close out with my favorite Christmas carol ever. Do you know what my favorite Christmas carol is? No, I love carol. Joy to the World. It's not that one. We'll be here all day, right? My favorite carol is O Holy Night. O Holy Night is my favorite Christmas carol. And Monique's going to sing it for us before we go home today. Did you get something out of today's sermon today?
I'm preaching.
Can I say this to you? Whenever I get up here to share the word, I pray, I ask the Lord to guide me. And I just felt so stirred that at this Christmas time that we refocus and not forget what Christmas is all about. It's the mission. Jesus came to the earth to bring salvation. Let's never lose sight of it. I believe we're going to win souls in 2021 in the name of Jesus like never before. Yeah. Do you believe that today?
And you know what I like about it? Just thinking about, we have Christmas Eve service on Thursday night. You know, it's so easy to say you may have family over. You just say, you know what, let's go. We've got a 1 hour church service. We're going to sing four carols, four of the most popular carols. And then we're going to have a short, relevant
graphic
Christmas message, and we'll be gone.
That's right.
From 7 till 8 p.m. It's a good chance.
We're going to have Christmas carols.
There's people that will come to church on Christmas
That's right.
Won't come the rest of the year.
We're going to have Christmas carols.
And a short message.
Joy to the World.
Surprise them.
Silent Night. I'm going to speak about the Christmas story.
and it's a short message.
Short sermon, but powerful. Relevant. And so bring people, absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be great.
So now's the time in the service where we have the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. Amen. And there are various ways that you can give. It'll come up on our screen. You can give by text giving. You can give on our app, like I showed you how to get download that. You can give in the envelopes in the seats in front of you. Give on our website. Give on Facebook. And we just try to make it easier and a very secure way to give. And we're very thankful, really thankful for the faithful tithers who week after week support the kingdom of God. Amen. We really are. And even Jesus' ministry, you know, money doesn't fall out of heaven. Even Jesus' ministry was funded by the people that were affected by his ministry, right? The woman, it says the woman around him, the people around him supported his ministry financially. So we have in the seat back in front of you, there are red envelopes. That's for your regular tithes, offerings, giving. There's a green envelope, which we have through the month of December. It says Heart for the House, Christmas offering. And it's our December Heart for the House. It's a giving campaign. And you can use that. We've asked people to just prayerfully consider giving something towards our year-end offering. I want to read you three verses, and it ties in, thank God, just the way it works out. The scripture really ties in with what Pastor Steve was talking about. Paul's writing, and he says, what after all is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. Say, God makes it grow. So neither the one who plants or the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. Say, I'm a co-worker in God's service. You are God's field and you are God's building. That's 1 Corinthians 3. So they're talking about in here, these people were talking about which ministry was more important. But Paul reminds them that it is not about us at the end of the day. It's all about God and his kingdom. And I think that's what this message today focused us. Come on, let's not get our eyes off the prize here. Let's not get our eyes off what God is saying. Paul in chapters 1 to 3, you know, with the first part of these chapters, he said, I don't want to get any glory from this story, but he makes it very clear that we have, people are invited to be a part of the process of God's story. That's what it is. God's inviting us into his story. In verse 6, he said, I planted the seed. So planting is important. Just like Pastor Steve got up here today, spoke the word of God, and he believes that faith grows in your heart. That is what causes faith to grow, right? So planting is very important. Now, our Heart for the House offering is about sowing a financial seed that is over and above what you would normally give. It's over. It's not just, well, I'll tithe in the month of December. No, it's over and above what you do. It's taking care of God's house. It's preparing for the year to come. It's for the harvest that's going to come, right? And let me tell you, if to plant a seed, to plant a garden, is to believe in tomorrow. Isn't that true? To put a seed in the ground is an indicator that you have hope or vision. Do you have any hope or vision for your own life for this year to come? Are you believing for some increase and some open doors and some opportunities? Well, when you plant a seed, it is proof that you have some hope for the future. Do you have any hope or vision for this church? You want to see God do? You want to see people's lives change? Well, then when you plant, it proves that you have a hope and a vision for the future, right? Planting is evidence of my confidence. I would never, if I go to plant an apple seed, it's proof that I have confidence that I can get an apple tree out of that, right? So if I'm not planting, it means, do I have any hope? Do I have a vision? Do I expect God to do something bigger than what I can do myself? Because that's what planting a seed is all about. So we got to see beyond today, right? You know, 5 minutes after we die, this stuff is not going to matter. 5 minutes after we die. And so I'm asking you to sow into a vision that is higher than what we have right here, higher than what we're doing in our natural day. Amen. So I'm going to read one more verse. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So what are you sowing? I'm encouraging you to sow something financially into the kingdom of God. Let's do something in this area. Let's do something for the kingdom of God. Let's plant seeds. You know, we couldn't anticipate what 2020 was going to bring. But let me tell you, if you have seed in the ground and you can trust God, you've been tithing, you've been giving, you believe in God, it's the same for the year to come. So we thank you for your faithfulness in giving today. So go ahead, fill that out. If you give online, it'll say Heart for the House. You can designate it there. Let me just say to you right now, as we are closing up, we have our children are out there. We have a nativity scene set up. We have a petting zoo. And
the nativity scene and the petting zoo.
And we added some burgers and
hot dogs. And we got hamburgers and we got hot dogs.
Just for the
because you know they had hamburgers and hot dogs when Jesus was born, right? Well, anyway, we got hamburgers and hot dogs out there. And somebody, did someone leave their glasses? Someone handed these to me. Kate Spade glasses out to you anyway. I'll take them home. Put them on eBay this afternoon. No, if you need your glasses, I've got them. And then all first-time visitors, I'd love to meet you after service in the lobby. We'd love to meet you. I want to mention Monique here. We're so glad Monique came down from North Carolina. She, Monique is working on staff. She's doing a wonderful job. She's a very hard worker. She works a lot of extra hours. We really are thankful for you. You're doing a wonderful job. Monique's had some car trouble lately, and we tried to get it fixed, and we weren't able to fix it, and she had to take an Uber to church today. And I said I'd mention it to you. If there's anyone out there, if you can help Monique, if you have a vehicle or you can help her with a vehicle, I would really appreciate that in Jesus' name. Amen. And then also, I think that's it. I think that's it. Let's pray. We want to thank all our givers. Thank you, our tithers. We couldn't do what we're doing without you. You're sowing into the mission. Father, I thank you said, Lord, that when we give generously, you'd cause generous gifts to be given back to us. You said the measure of our generosity was how we would receive. I thank you for the winners of heaven above, open above people. I thank you for blessing people. I thank you for supernatural increase. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, that as each one gives today, that you cause a mighty harvest to come their way. In Jesus' name. Thank you, ushers. You know, I was speaking to so many people. I was speaking to Stacy Buck. She made $50,000 more this year than she made last year. And she's in the medical industry, and a whole lot of her business was shut down. I was speaking to someone. Who else was it last night? Who were we talking to? Oh, Matt. A friend of ours, Matt. He said he's been so busy, he's had a record year. Do not believe the lie that you cannot be blessed because of what's happening in the world. God can bless you right where you are, no matter what's going on, if you'll trust Him. Amen? Come on, let's stand up. Won't you sing with us, Oh Holy Night? It's Christmas time, my favorite time of year. I don't know about you, but sing with us. Come on, Monique, as we go.
Oh Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till He appeared and the soul yonder breaks a new and glorious
for Christmas Eve. Y'all have a blessed week. See you Thursday. Bring a friend.